thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is such a great deal. Hello, my name's Keith Teedy. I'm the host of New Media Central podcast, and today I'm talking about incoming President Donald Trump's nominations. He's really getting it filled up quickly. There was a complaint last time in 2016 that he took too long doing it. Back then, he didn't know people and he didn't know who to trust. Now he does, so get the hell out of the way. But I talk a little bit about the ones that are very impressive to me. I can't wait to see some of this stuff unfold and how it's going to play out. Doge, I can't say enough about that. I've been talking and talking for decades about how wasteful our government is. Everybody talks about it. Now something's going to get done. I'm jazzed. So today I was just going to talk a little bit about the cabinet appointments that Donald Trump has made so far as president-elect. He's got, 2 months to go, and he's knocking them out there. I just wanted to talk a little bit about his appointments. Of course, J.D. Vance is vice president. The first few I'm doing here is in order of succession. So basically, if the president dies, the vice president becomes president. If he dies, the secretary of state becomes president, and secretary of treasury and secretary of defense and attorney general and on down the line. But the first several here I'm talking about are in order of succession. These are as of today. To the best of my knowledge, I've got as many in there as I can. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to skip around a little bit. I'm going to go for the first 16 are actually cabinet positions. And so I'm going to hit those in order of succession through the top several. And then I'll probably skip around a little bit only because I don't want to talk about everybody. I don't know all these people. I'm looking forward to getting to know them better. But currently, I'm just going to talk about the ones that I know about. So, the vice president's job is to preside over the Senate, advise the president, and assume the presidency if anything happens to the president. So, it's J.D. Vance. I was really excited when he started coming up with a short list of potential VP nominations. He had a list, and there were several on there that I thought were very good. But I remember looking at J.D. Vance going, who is this guy? And so I started doing a little checking, and then, of course, I ran across his book, Hillbilly Elegy. It doesn't roll off the tongue, really, as the name of a book, but it's succinct. It's the story of his life. And he grew up in a small town, and he had a rough childhood. His father was kind of absent, and his mother was addicted to drugs. So his grandmother pretty much raised him, and it just goes through and talks about the different things that he had to go through growing up, and then he joined the service, and then he became a senator. And it's an incredible story. It's an incredible, you can do anything you can imagine in this country, and that's what we want to get back to. We want to get back to everybody in the country being like J.D. Vance, working their ass off to try to get to whatever it is they want, whether it's president of the United States or president of a company or Joe Sixpack. It's going to work every day and bringing home a paycheck. You know, it doesn't matter. It's doing what you want to do. And so I was really jazzed about J.D. Vance. Said I did a lot of quick research when I saw his name on there, and I was really jazzed about him becoming the VP. And I'm really glad that he picked him. He's got a lot of things that people don't really even know about that he does really well. I think he's going to make a great VP, and the good news about him is he could go on to be the next president in 2028. We'll see what happens in the next 4 years. You never can tell. Somebody like that who doesn't have, at least for me, I didn't know that much about him. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Marco Rubio, I'm jazzed about this one too. He's Secretary of State. Secretary of State's main responsibilities are managing foreign affairs, international relations, diplomatic efforts for the U.S. Basically, he's the guy that goes around the world and makes sure everything's on the up and up. I've been very impressed with Marco Rubio for a long time. He's done a lot of really good stuff. Who's next? The Secretary of the Treasury. Big job. This person oversees economic policies, financial systems, tax collection, and public debt. He picked Scott Bessent. I don't know that much about the guy, but he's got a big job, and from what I understand, he's a billionaire, and so he kind of knows how to do that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, he's a Fox reporter formerly. The Secretary of Defense manages military operations, military forces, and national security. Again, he's got a huge job there, and he's well-suited for it. I remember him when he was at Fox. He wasn't one of the ones that I watched a lot, and I think it's mostly because he just wasn't on at the time that I watched Fox. But I did see him fairly regularly, and I was impressed. And then after, you know, once again, after the pick was made, I did a little more research, and this guy is awesome. They talk about him thinking that women don't belong in the military. I did a whole podcast on that. You can go back and listen to it if you want. But it's, I think women can fight. I know some women that can fight really good and kick most guys I know's butt. It can't be the same. And I'm repeating this from that podcast, but you got to have the military. You got to have soldiers in the military. They can be men or women. But when you try to put them together all in the same bucket, it don't work. We got to have two separate militaries, one for men, one for women. The women's military can be just as kick tail feathers as the men's could be, but they can't be together. I mean, I go into detail about that, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it now. But when you put men and women together like that, bad things happen sometimes. In a situation like that, especially, it happens a lot because there's so much discipline in your rank, and the person who's above you in rank, you do whatever that person tells you to do without question. So you can see the problem there. Attorney General Pam Bondi, don't know a whole lot about her, just what I've researched recently, but I think that's a little bit of a coup on the part of the incoming president. He originally nominated Matt Gaetz, or wanted to put Matt Gaetz up for nomination, and he bowed out. And I think that whole thing was a ruse to get Pam Bondi in. When he put Matt Gaetz out there, he was going, I do a lot of things where people wonder about my nominations and the associations I have with these people, but they're going to lose it when I nominate Matt Gaetz. And they did. And then here comes Pam Bondi, and she just slides right in real smooth and easy because she's so much better than Matt Gaetz. I don't have a problem with Matt Gaetz. If the allegations are true, he's a scumbag and doesn't deserve to roam freely. I don't know if he did him or not. And there's that fine line between a guy who's partying and having some fun and not really knowing all the circumstances that's going on at the time that he's having fun. Things can happen that later on don't seem too good. If he's really as bad as they say, yeah, he needs to go down. If it's just circumstantial and everybody jumped on it to knock down Trump's appointment, then yeah, he deserves a better treatment. So we'll see what happens on that. I got a feeling, and matter of fact, I first saw him, and I apologize to him in advance for this because it's not a nice thing to say, but I always thought of Butthead, of Beavis and Butthead, every time I saw him. And I had the eebie-jeebies a little bit just from his appearance. And then I heard some of the accusations and I went, oh man, I hope these aren't true. And I still do hope they're not true. But like I said, I think it was a ruse on Trump's part. Put one guy up that he knows isn't going to make it just to make a really big scene and something to talk about. And then he slides somebody else that he really wanted in there and smooth sailing, hopefully. Let's jump around a little bit now. Here's one of my favorites. I have several favorites, actually. Bobby Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services. That person ensures the safety of food, drugs, and medical devices. It's a short description of a massive job. But the reason I'm so jazzed about that, I've been following Bobby Kennedy Jr. for a long time because he and I have identical thoughts on a lot of things like food and drugs. And I've talked about it many times on my podcast. Just briefly, our food is in the toilet. I mean, you've seen the stuff on TV about cereal where we have 372 ingredients in our cereal, and Canada, for instance, has 5. And they are using us as lab rats. And same thing with medicine. Big Pharma and I have had a long standing feud going on because they're treating us like lab rats. They want to do something they think is really cool, and they do it, and they unleash it on Americans and other people around the world. But, I mean, our food supply could be fabulous. We live in the breadbasket. We produce a lot of food in this country, and we can produce it safely and healthy. And that's what he's going to do. That's what Bobby Kennedy is going to do. It's a massive job. It's going to take a long time to get it figured out, and how he's going to do it and get it implemented. It's going to be tough, and it won't go exactly like we hoped it would, but it will be massively better. And I did a whole podcast, too, actually, on Anthony Fauci. I'm sure glad I'm not him right now. They're going to uncover the shit that he did, and he's going down. And sadly, he's going to go down probably in a good way, if there is a good way, going down. The way I envisioned and dreamt about him going down is quite a bit different than probably what will happen. But I do believe he's going down. Who else we got here? Like I said, I'm jumping around a little bit now. Oh, the one Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon. Secretary of Education oversees federal education programs, policies, and student aid. So, yeah, Trump wants it out, the Department of Education. Doge, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Elon Musk, who are going to start eliminating a big chunk of our federal government. It's been needing to be done for a long time. I'm going to talk about them in a little bit. Right now, I'm just talking about Linda McMahon. She's going to get after it. She has been nominated for secretary of a cabinet position that's going away, and she knows it, and she's okay with it. She wants it out, too, and she's going to work from within to make it happen. So, who else we got? So, these are cabinet-level officials, but they're not actual cabinet positions, like White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles. People worry that Donald Trump doesn't like women in positions of power. That's 180 degrees. Susie Wiles, first female ever to be White House Chief of Staff. The Chief of Staff oversees the White House operations, manages staff, and is a key advisor to the president. This is a big deal. White House Chief of Staff is a big thing. I mean, even though it's not an actual cabinet position, it's cabinet level. And he puts a woman in there. It's a person that he trusts a lot, and he knows that he can count on her to do the stuff that needs to be done. Perfect choice for White House Chief of Staff. Where are we at now? I'm going to jump on down. Border Czar. I'm super jazzed about him. Tom Homan. The Border Czar is in charge of closing the border and deporting immigrants that are illegally in the U.S. That's what his job is going to be. Necessarily what the Border Czar is always supposed to have been. That's what he's going to do. And he talks about it every time you see him on TV. It's exactly what he's talking about. I'm closing the border, getting them out.
You can't do that. You can't just take people and send them.
Why? Why can't you? They came in. They broke the law. They came in our country illegally. If we find someone who's done that, bye-bye. Don't let the screen door hit you. And absolutely, every single one of them.
Well, it's going to mess up everything. The people won't have enough workers.
There's a lot of workers in this country, folks. And there's no job, when you get right down to it, that Americans won't do. They say, oh, we got to get these immigrants in because it's jobs Americans won't do. Yeah, they will. They get hungry enough, they'll do it. So, anyway, yep, I'm really jazzed about Tom Homan. He's no nonsense. You can look at the guy and tell. You can do all the sob stories you want to right in front of him and he'll go, see ya. Okay, who else we got here? And down to Department of Government Efficiency. Doge. It's so cool how that all worked out. I mean, it just fits. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, I can't say enough about either one of those two. If you listen to my podcast before, you know that I have a great deal of respect for both these guys. I thought, and I said in my podcast that those two people really need top-level positions in the administration. And there's a lot of jobs that are higher on this list as far as importance in the official White House structure. This one, this new department, DOGE, is going to be right there at the top. They're going to do the thing that should have been done a long time ago and should have been maintained for all these hundreds of years that we've been in business. It gets more bloated and more bloated every day, and it becomes exponentially, as it grows, it gets bigger and bigger and gets more bloated every day than it did the day before. So it's just a huge thing that has to be stopped. and it has to be gutted, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. A lot of people, when it comes around to cutting out some program that the government does, and it happens to be one that you're benefiting from, you're going to go, oh, no, we're not doing that one. Well, we got to have faith in these two guys and President Trump to make wise choices and get rid of the really bad stuff and go in order of importance and in order of how bad it is. If it's really bad, it's going first. So I don't even want to speculate on what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. I know those two probably have the best ability to do that of any two people on the planet. I'm jazzed. I'm super excited about that. I've thought that for a long time. I've talked many times on my podcast about how bloated our government is and how wasteful it is and all that stuff and how I wish we could do something about it. Something's getting done now. Something is getting done about it now. Okay, who else we got here? Actually, I believe, let's have a look here real quick. He's got some ambassadors. Mike Huckabee's going to be the ambassador to Israel. Super cool. Yeah, huge role. I mean, you know, World War III is banking on the fact that we're hoping Mike Huckabee can to get that figured out there. And it's going to take the entire government, not just Huckabee. You know, the military and everybody's going to be involved going, hey, you can't mess with Israel. Sorry, they're an ally, a very important ally to us in the Middle East, where a lot of bad things happen. We're lucky to have them there, and they very much deserve being there. They're an awesome country. They've done a lot of awesome things. And I think that'll be it for now. I'm going to be talking a lot about them. As I learn more, I'm going to pass it along. Super jazzed about everyone that he's nominated so far, except maybe for Matt Gaetz, and he's gone anyway, so. Anyway, that's it for now.